Welcome to the Family Life Church Podcast. We hope you're blessed and encouraged to share this with someone you know. Subscribe or visit thefamilylife.org for more information.
And thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. The staves shall be in the rings of the ark, they shall not be taken from it. It was penned in the book of 1 Corinthians that the Word of God and the events recorded in it happened as examples for us to learn and live by. Read it with me, if you would, please. Now, all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Each line, every verse, every chapter, book, person, event, was given so that you and I, the ones upon whom the ends of the world are come, might learn from them. Examples to admonish us or warn us, in other words, that it would be more than just words read or good suggestions to take into consideration, but rather it would be the literal life-giving, life-saving word of God to live and to be saved by. Guidepost, if you would, along the way to mark the path that must be taken. Precedents set that are to be placed and practiced. And such was the case in the practice and the procedure of the carrying of the Ark of the Covenant, the place of the mercy seat. It carried the contents of the covenant. It was the place where the presence of God rested in the holiest of holies in the tabernacle. The significance of the Ark cannot be overstated. What it stood for, what it meant to his people, its place of importance was without equal. It was a type, if you would, it was a type and foreshadowing for you and I, the church. The wood it was made from, speaking of the humanity of Christ. The gold that it was overlaid with, demonstrating his divinity. The fulfillment of the law within and the mercy seat that was above. It all pointed to a day that you and I could come boldly unto Jesus, no longer hid behind a veil, but open to whomsoever will, let him come, he said. If there's one significant thing about the ark that's often overlooked, and that was the staves. Four rings of gold were made and placed on the four corners of the ark, and into those rings there were placed four staves or wooden planks or poles that were overlaid or covered with gold. God said that once they were made, they were to be placed in the rings of gold, and then the staves to carry the ark were then never to be removed. Unlike other articles in the tabernacle that were carried in similar ways, the ark was different. The staves were to remain there always, never to be removed. No matter how long or wherever the ark was to be, the staves would remain ready, always in place to carry the ark to the place that it was to be. When God began his creation in Genesis 1, the word said that the Spirit of God moved. It moved upon the face of the waters. When Nicodemus came to Jesus in John, the third chapter, Jesus told him that the Spirit that is born in us is like wind that moves. God established the precedent of his nature that there would and should be no means of man. Now understand this, no means of man or creation that could contain or restrain the nature of his progression. God was demonstrating in the beginning of his creation, he further demonstrated by the words that he said, that God moves. Simply meaning that God always intended his Spirit working in us and through us and by us to be mobile. The staves were in place for the ark to be carried, to be present, in other words, to be where God intended to be. That's why they were placed there. They remained in place to be immediate, if you would. They were there to keep man from making God confined to a place or a position of our own defining, if you would. God never wanted, he He never wanted humanity, you and I, to limit him or to restrict him to our position or thought or even judgment, if you would, to a place that we determined that he could only be, to a building or to a way of worship that is isolated to a particular posture or place, if you would. If anything has come from this present season that we are in, it is that certain fractures in our personal relationship with God have been revealed through this very difficult season. For it's been so long that many have only had a relationship with God that existed in the church building. And once that was not there, many struggled because it was only there that they worshiped and that they related intimately to God in that particular setting. Could it be today that God is trying to get the attention of the church, the attention of you and I, that he must be more in our life than just a fixed place or a specific time? That our relationship with him, our convictions, must be present with us here and everywhere else in our life. The staves kept the ark ready to move. God's Spirit moves. Because he moves, he is not absent from our need. He's not absent from our pain. Mercy moves. It gets to where you and I are in our crisis. In a pandemic, God has proved and used it as a means to remind us and show the world that he cannot be stopped or stayed. That he will reach through the imperfection of humanity to communicate and demonstrate his saving grace in ways that we never conceived in our mind, because God moves. When David tried to bring the ark back to Israel, he first tried by placing it on a new cart pulled by oxen. The word said that he failed to do so on that attempt. But when it was carried on the shoulders and by the hands of the priesthood, he succeeded. Why? Because, understand this, God ordained the imperfection of humanity to be the means by which he would demonstrate his grace and mercy. The church, this church, is filled with people who are imperfect, flawed, at times even failing. But that is the way that it is supposed to be. It is the tangible evidence of his mercy that is moving. My imperfection, your imperfection, our faults, our failures along the way, it is the tangible evidence of the grace and the mercy of God at work. If there's a church or a people that is not allowing or inviting room for imperfection, judging others out before they have a chance to get in, then the mercy of God has become more fixated about a place or personality than it is about the saving of the lost. Too many try, please understand this, look a little deeper if you would. Too many try to westernize God or to make him remain in a way that we view him by our defining and then expect others to be like us and less like him. Remember, we were created in his image, not God created in ours. His mercy and how he moves and the way that he moves is bigger than us or any place for that matter. We seek after the Spirit, not the Spirit accommodating our wanderings or our particular whims in life. His mercy moves in ways that are above us. I need you to grasp this if you would right now. His mercy moves in ways that are above us. His thoughts, the word said. His ways are above ours. The word tells us that. We come to an understanding of the mercy seat. Look at this. The mercy seat was above the staves that were to be carried by man. It covered the law of God contained within the ark. The mercy seat was above. The mercy of God always flows downward and outward. It is not restricted by man's limited lateral view. We are simply meant to carry the mercy and word to the world. Let the God of mercy, who's above all and sees all, decide where and to whom it flows to, not restricted by you and I. Leave those staves alone. Leave those staves alone. Don't try to make God about a place or a position or a way that you judge people. Don't charge God foolishly. Don't get in the way of God's mercy, in other words. That's why Uzziah was struck dead there when David tried to bring the ark back into Israel. Uzziah was struck dead when he touched the ark. He reached as the oxen stumbled and he touched the ark. He put his hands on something that God had ordained to be holy. We must not judge someone or something that God is still moving in or on, because he has a plan and a process in it all. Get your hands ready. Hear this, please. Get your hands ready to take hold of the staves. Have them open to carry the will of God into this next year, into the things in your life that God has in store for you and for all of us. Those staves meant that God was never out of reach. Do you see that? Because they were permanently fixated there upon the ark, that meant that it was never out of reach. God was never out of reach, never too far. He meant for mercy to move and to make its way to you and I, to where it needed to be in our life. He became that portion for us. Your sin, someone hear me now, your sin is not too great to keep him from you. The problem or pain in your life means that he is going to be present with you. He's at work in your weariness. He's moving to meet you at your point of fear and frustration. The mercy seat was above the staves. His mercy moves in ways that are above us. That means simply that you don't have to understand it. You don't have to be able to define how he does it. You don't have to earn it. It can get to where you are, and it can save you. Right now, in your life, in this day, in this time, take hold of the power and the presence of God for your life. Pray. Seek him. Don't limit God to be only what you think that he can be or how you think that it should be. Because the truth is today, no matter how difficult your situation might seem, no matter what the future might hold, no matter the presence of pain in your life, there is nothing impossible for God. I would, if you would, pray with me right now, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Take a moment right now with your family, there at your work, in your home, and just begin to pray. And begin to grasp something in the Spirit that God is trying to reveal to you right now. Father, I pray in your name that, God, you would touch every heart, every mind, every life that's listening to this, that's watching this. God, those that are in fear and frustration, those that are facing pain and difficulty, help them to recognize, God, that you are where they are, that you are present with them, that God, all the things that have occupied their mind and their attention and so many things, God, that seem difficult, I pray that you would help them to understand that you have never left them nor forsaken them, and that, God, that you are where they are and for what they need in their life. And so I pray, help them now, those that need you, to repent and to be baptized in your name and filled with your Spirit, those to come to a place of your grace and mercy, and to realize, God, that you're the hope that they are needing. And so, God, I pray right now, as we enter this new year, that we do so recognizing that you are not limited by our thoughts or our defining or the things that have been, but that you are greater, and that with you nothing is impossible, God, and we can place our trust in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you this day.